just pause for a minute or two. So Holy Spirit, we just, before we go into shift gears, we just give you time to do whatever you want to do in us. Give you time what you want to do, what you want to say, and how you want to say it, and when you want to say it. So we just pause for about 60 seconds here and just continue speaking to our hearts. And I know what the words mean, the fear of the Lord, at least by the dictionary, but I'm not sure I know what it means in terms of my life. And let the reverence come back into our lives. Let holiness come back into our lives. And we just submit to your voice. We submit to your direction. And we say, wherever you go, we go. And to the best of our abilities, whatever you say, we say. Whatever you do, to the best of our abilities, we'll do. Because you are our King, you are our Lord, and you are our God. Anybody else have something to insight or to share? All right. If you could, Tiffany, put up there the message slide. I'm just going to share tonight, just sort of ramble through this. We've been talking about this, although we haven't talked about the last 2 points. Those are new. It's called God's View versus World's View. I really believe we're in a time, and have been there for a little while, and we're still in it. He is inviting us into a partnership with Him. It's not a partnership of Him with us. Although partnership does go both ways, I get that. But He's inviting us into a partnership with Him. And I don't want us to miss it. He is changing up our rhythms of life from what we've been used to give us new routines. And He's been changing up routines that have been good. They've probably been in the right season. But He's changing these things up because somehow or another He's accelerating. I don't know if He's accelerating, but He's changing His approach to bringing His kingdom on earth. And He's wanting to bring us along with it. And I just know in my own life, and maybe in yours, maybe you can tell me your stories later. He's changing up what has been to what will be. And He's trying to position us correctly for that. And it's involving job changes. It's involving relationship changes. It's involving all kinds of things that maybe we never even expected. But He's doing this because He's wanting us to walk with Him. And I don't know if He's changing direction, increasing direction, whatever, to bring His kingdom into the earth, to bring a further revelation of Him. So never underestimate what He's asking you to do. You can't often judge what God's asking you to do till a year later, 5 years later, sometimes a decade later. You see, okay, now I see how this fits. I remember when I was 18 and I just knew by the Spirit of God, had a couple of words, that I was going to be a church planter. And then we planted this church when I was 34. But if I'd been a church planter before then, so that was a long period of time, 16 years. If I'd been a church planter earlier, I would not have planted a church like this because I did not believe in charismatic theology. I was not so-called spirit-filled. I didn't do worship like what we do, et cetera, et cetera. And it took 16 years of the Lord giving me little pieces here and there to set me up, to position me to do what we did so many years ago. And He's doing that now for the next move in my life and for the move in your life. And we go, this doesn't make sense. It seems so little. But what He's doing is He's aligning us with His way. One of the couple things is I just think off the top of my head, He is into movement. You know, we talk a lot about rest. But the purpose of rest is not to stop. The purpose of rest is to sit back and go, where is He moving me? To get a clear picture out of our routines and out of our rhythms. Because He's into movement. The kingdom of God is growing. But He wants us to move with His meaning, not just our past patterns. He is going in a direction. And so He's trying to get us to do with His direction. And we all think, or at least I do, all you got to do is tell me and I'm going to do it. That doesn't usually work. He gives us little twerks here and there, little things that gets us going in a different pattern. Because we usually can't handle the sudden changes, emotionally, maybe even physically. I wrote down some things over there during worship that may or may not apply to you, but I think it applies to what I'm talking about. Jesus cared less about who was following than following the Father. This is a big one. I don't know about you, but so maybe this doesn't apply to you, but whenever I make a change or go in a different direction or change up, there's almost always pushback from somebody around me. Well, have you thought about this? What about that? And they're really sort of subtly trying to get you to change your mind. They're not generally asking you, what about this or what about that? Because they bring out all what the bad things that could happen. And we appreciate wisdom. We appreciate counseling. But you realize most of the Gospels, Jesus never followed what people wanted Him to do. The only thing that was important to Him is what is the direction or the voice that the Father God is calling me to do. And I really think that is a big part of where we're all at. I'm being called to do this. It's a little scary. It's a little risky. But maybe nobody agrees with you. But in the quietness of your heart, you know this is where I'm supposed to go. And this is where you find out, am I really following the Father or am I following the crowd? John 6, Jesus, I use this a lot. I think John 6 is my, I don't know if it's my favorite chapter, but I've gotten the most lessons out of John 6 of any chapter in the New Testament. He feeds the 5,000 and there's a great following. And they wanted more. Hundreds followed them, wanted more. But we have to believe that the Father said it's time to move on. But nobody, even His 12 disciples, disagreed with Him. Going, what are you doing, man, in so many words? And one of these things the Lord is doing in this time frame with us is getting us to the place where we can really hear the Father's heart. And saying, I'm going to do that, even if no one follows. Now, if you're married, you got to work through that. If you got kids, you got to work through that. I get all of that. But ultimately, your direction is set. I am going to follow the Father's voice. And that sounds so easy, but in the midst of that, when people around you are going, what are you doing? You could lose it all. Or this is crazy. Or you've got it made. Why are you risking it? Or why are you just doing what nobody else is doing? You know, it really comes down to, I believe everybody in this room will do what the Father does. That the crucial thing is, how am I hearing Him correctly? And I think if we do, I know you guys, we'll bet our life on it. And so what it's causing us to do is to go deep, to rest, to slow down, to hear what the Father's saying and truly let that be our direction. Be nice to everybody around us. We don't judge them. We don't put them down. But we say, this is the direction that I need to go. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it, because sometimes we get it wrong. But I'd rather be wrong trying to follow the Father and maybe missing it than to be wrong and knowingly go, I didn't even try. And that's sort of where this first point, we've talked about it quite a bit. Is he the owner of us? This is another thing I wrote down. Very similar, just a different variation. Do we get our validation? We all want to be approved. We all want that. I mean, it's built into us, and we can't keep it, I don't think, because some of it's legit. But do we get our validation from who is agreeing with us or hearing that I'm agreeing with Jesus? That's tough stuff, isn't it? I'm only speaking to myself here in this room tonight. But this is where we become sold out. This is where he becomes the owner. This is where if other people were following their voice, Jesus is not the owner. I'm not the owner. They're the owner. And there's been so much breaking of wrong soul ties. What I mean by soul ties is there are good soul ties and there's bad soul ties. Good soul ties should be, I want to have a good connection with my kids. I want to have a good connection with my mate. I want to have a good connection with my friends. And they know properly how to walk in that without controlling, with unconditional love. But then there's the bad soul ties. Those are the ones, I'm sure you've all been there, where they really sort of want to do not best what's best for you, but what they want you to do for whatever reason. And there's been a lot of that. Am I the only one going, I'm just not going to do this? I love you. I'll still be your friend if you'll let me, if you'll do it unconditionally. But I'm getting my validation from the Father. Think of Jesus. He poured 3 years of his life into about 70 people. We say the 12, but there was a lot more than 12 around. You had the two Marys. You had his mother. You had all these other disciples. From the best we could tell is sort of a group of 70 people, maybe more, that would follow him around. And in the end, none of them, I mean, I say none of them. None of them that's listed in the scriptures. Maybe some of them knew. I tend to think some of the women knew. The guys were definitely clueless. We're not going to preach on that. But I think Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene and Martha and some of these other people, I think they probably knew. But here he was. He ended up doing something that none of them, at least to the best of our knowledge, expected or understood, and even came against to some degree. This is your kingdom? You're going to die? Think about it. I mean, we've heard the story a million times. But put yourself in your position. I mean, he had two of his disciples fighting over whether they're going to be on his right hand or his left hand when he comes into his kingdom. Judas has got it all set up for him. That's a major power play. Take over everything. And you're going to do what? I'm not going to presume I know what Jesus was thinking, so I'm just going to presume what I would have been thinking. In that Garden of Gethsemane, they wouldn't even stay awake and pray for him. It had to have been extremely lonely. I just poured my life into dozens of people every day from morning to night for 3 years, and they still do not understand. You could see this in the Gospels many different times. He'll say something like, how many times do I have to tell you this? How many of you feel that way now? Maybe you've done something or doing something or planning on doing something, and it's just lonely. Your loved ones don't even always understand. They may be gracious towards you, go there. These places aren't fun, but this is what cements us to the Father. This is what cements us. Who are we going to get validation from? You can turn that off. I'm not even going in this direction tonight. We're just talking, but it'll be good. Well, I got past the first point. Maybe next week. I don't even know why I do PowerPoints. Now you see why I don't do PowerPoints. It misleads you. But I feel the presence here. I think maybe at least one or two people. You're going in the direction. You're moving with the meaning He's given you. You're doing with the direction. But there's people around you, it's like, I don't get it, man. Hopefully they're not actively coming against you. They're just like, I don't get it. Loneliness was never God. Loneliness is not why He created the Garden of Eden. He created it to fight against loneliness. But in this day of Him changing our rhythms up and changing our routines up, y'all know what I'm talking about? He's going, what you used to do here from 8 to 9, I want you to change. What you used to do on Sundays, I want you to change. Or what you used to do with this person, I want you to change. And you know, He never gives the reason most of the time. It's one of the most frustrating parts about being a Christian. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just trying to teach us all how to live. Somebody this past week, I don't remember, it was either Susan or Israel or somebody, or maybe it was Thursday night, I can't remember, when we were in the prophetic gathering. Sometime at some conversation we were talking about, He just never explains Himself. And I won't say never, but that's the majority. He just doesn't explain Himself. And then when I push in, while you're doing this, it usually comes back around, are you going to follow the understanding or follow My voice? Ooh, that's deep. If I give you an understanding, you're following your mind because now you understand it. I want you to follow My voice. You know, as parents, we're told not to say this, although I said it a lot on purpose, and I think it was God most of the time. When they're little, they're going, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? You're telling me to do this. And I would just say, because I said so. Now, if I said it out of frustration, that was not God. But I said it on purpose several times, many times, to see if you would obey, well, my kids, not you, if you would obey, if my kids would obey without having to understand, would follow My voice, because I was trying to teach them, when you get to be an adult, this exact same thing is going to happen to you. And if you have to understand to follow Him, He's not going to go there. Now, once you follow Him many times afterwards, you get the understanding. Oh, that's what He was doing. Why didn't He tell me that ahead of time? And so you got John 6. He left the big meeting. He got the cross. He just kept pushing on, which is just amazing to me. This is what I wrote. This will be the last thing I read here. Maybe we'll go back to slide. We'll see. Jesus kept going even when no one understood or agreed with what He was doing. Now, the key is not to be stubborn here with your own opinions. The key is to be stubborn about what He's told you. Now, we're not argumentative. We just say, this is the way we're going. I mean, Jesus in the Gospels, He never was argumentative with His disciples. It's like, this is the way I'm going. You want to go or not? Very much a libertarian. Very, if you don't know what that is, you can go Google it. Very much a freedom type person. Our direction can never be the voice or expectations of people, but the voice and the expectations of the Father. And that is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. I'm just telling you. I'm not sure it ever gets easier. I know when we moved up here from Augusta, Georgia, decades ago, nobody at the church, nobody said it was not God's will, but nobody wanted us to go. All right. We're just going to do this thing, no matter what people say, because I think that's what the Father says. How many of you have had decisions like that in your past? Maybe even now, because you're definitely going to have it in the future too. This is the way it is. He's constant because His direction is not our direction. It's not our neighbor's direction. It's not the people around us' direction. But in the end, if we do that, yeah, put that slide back up. I'll talk about real quick one thing here. So this second point we talked about in the past, I'll talk about when you are solely His and you're following His direction, it opens a door that whatever He's calling you to do, it depends, businesses, relationships, changes in position at your work, changes in ministry. When you go by your voice and your wisdom, you're limited by what you can provide. Limited by earth is what that means. It's limited by you. But whenever you say yes, there's going to be times you're going to go, I have no idea how this is going to work out. But I want to encourage you, financial, if that's what you need, relationship, if that's what you need, connections, if that's what you need. Most of the time, finances is not the limiting thing. It's connections. You are then limited only by heaven because you have properly aligned yourself with Him. And when you align yourself with Him, you align yourself to His resources. There's Jesus, goes through all the stuff that we know He did with the crown of thorns and the floggings and the betrayals and on the cross. And in the end, He goes, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, hopefully none of us ever get to that point of death. But in your thing, whatever you're believing the Lord, whatever you're wrestling with Him in, whatever you're trying to find the direction, say that same thing. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And the Spirit, 3 days later, rose Him from the dead. No way could He have ever done that in the part of His manhood. And so He will do the same thing for you. Here's some examples I wrote down. Exodus 10:21, if you want to follow along or else I'll read it. This is during the 10 plagues. These are things He did on earth to people that were following Him. Maybe yours won't be this dramatic. Maybe it'll be more dramatic. Exodus 10:21. This is the plague of darkness in Egypt. The Lord said to Moses, lift your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with a darkness so thick you can feel it. I don't know what that means, but that's a thick darkness. Verse 22, so Moses has lifted his hand to the sky, and a deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. That was a prophecy about the 3 days, three nights in the tomb. You don't realize it. They didn't realize it probably then, but we do in hindsight. Verse 23, during all that time, the people could not see each other. He's talking about the Egyptians, and no one moved. But this is cool. In Goshen is the area where the slaves were kept, where the Israelites were kept. When you're following God, you've got your own Goshen around you, your own bubble. But there was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. That is living limited only by heaven. And so I will encourage you, move with His direction. Listen to His voice. No matter how hard it may be, you are only limited by Him. And in the end, light, resurrection, finances, whatever you need will come. Matthew 17:27. Let me read one more. They were needing money for their taxes. How many of us need money? We all need money. Every month we need money. Unless you're independently wealthy in here and you still need money, you just already got it. However, we don't want to, so they're going, how are we going to get our taxes? So Jesus says, however, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch. You will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the taxes for both of us. That was supernatural. There's no way we would know that that fish had a coin in his mouth. And I'm telling you, he didn't have a coin in his mouth till Jesus said that. It's my opinion. Maybe he did. Maybe he saw it swimming around in the water, but I sort of doubt it. So as you follow his voice, no matter what it looks like, I'm telling you, you're only limited by heaven. And he does that on purpose because he points you in a direction that's a heavenly destiny. It's a heavenly vision. It's a destiny that comes out of heaven to change the world around you. And you go, well, I'm just starting a new relationship or starting a new business or doing something in a new business. I'm telling you, in that area, he wants to bring the kingdom of God into it. He wants to bring himself into it with you. Nothing's too little. You go, my little area is too little. He doesn't care. No, he cares. He cares about the sparrow. He cares about the number of hairs on your head. Some of us have calls that, at least publicly, seem to be bigger. Some are smaller, but they're all the same to him. And the way we do this is coming back around to what I started at the beginning, is walking by his voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I want to get across, this is much harder than what we think. Hearing his voice is actually, I think, probably not that hard. But obeying and walking it out, it is. Because there's everybody around us, including just circumstances. How am I going to get past these circumstances? I need these connections. I need these relationships. I need this money. I need whatever we need. I don't know how you're going to get it. I'm not your partner. He's your partner. And if he's leading you in that way, his resources are only limited by heaven. That's all I got.